Yes, welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily. There's a piece of silverware up for grabs in England this weekend. The Capital One League Cup is there to be taken by Swansea or Bradford. Who would have predicted those names being in the final at the beginning of this season? A man to discuss all of that, the Premier League as well, is the Daily Telegraph's very own Jeremy Wilson joining me on the line. Jeremy, how are you this weekend, mate?
I'm good, thanks.
Fantastic to hear that you're well. Maybe not so good is Arsene Wenger. You're going to be down at the Emirates this weekend. How important is this Villa game for Arsenal for a win this weekend?
Yeah, it's obviously, I mean, it sounds a bit cliched, but it feels like one of those games that we always call a must-win game, because I think for two reasons, really. One is, obviously, just look at the league table. They're 4 points behind Tottenham, and Tottenham have not been dropping many points lately, and you know, beginning to run out of games now. So that battle for fourth place, which you know, and Everton only just behind, is absolutely crucial for Arsenal and their future and their transfer plans in the summer. But also, I think just it's critical because of the results against Blackburn and then Bayern Munich in the last week, and the whole mood of the club, the whole mood of the Emirates, that they were booed off. Again, after both games, on the 1-0 loss against Blackburn and the 3-1 against Bayern. So to go three home games in the space of 8 days, you know, either I think even if they draw this game, they'll be booed off, to be honest. So to get that, to, you know, for the game to come on the back of those, he really needs to win badly, because it's very tense at the Emirates at the moment. His position's being questioned without any doubt more than it has done in the nearly 17 years he's been there. So I think it's vital, you know, firstly, just in the race for fourth place, which is obviously so important financially and so important for the future of Arsenal, but also just, I think, personally for Arsene Wenger and almost his relationship with the Arsenal fans, because it sort of feels a little bit like it's close to breaking point at the moment, and it's always difficult to say whether the majority are against him or, you know, where what people really think, but there's certainly a sizable number of people rebelling at the moment, and more than ever before, and he needs to get a win and just to calm all that down as much as anything.
Is this Villa side probably one of the worst sides that Arsenal could have picked to play this weekend, because they need to get every point they can as well in their battle for Premier League survival at the moment?
Yeah, and they've not been... I think they won their last game and drew the one before, and they scored a few goals lately, which obviously they hadn't been doing much of early in the season. So there's been sort of signs that they're improving a little bit. And I think it is a difficult game in a way, because the pressure is completely on Arsenal. Everybody will look at the table and see Villa, where are they, fourth from bottom, and say, well, you know, if Arsenal can't beat this, then Wenger really must be in trouble. And Villa's tactics are going to be obvious. Paul Lambert's tactics are going to be obvious. They're going to defend very deeply. They're going to defend in numbers, get lots of people behind the ball, and they'll try and hit Arsenal on the break. And Benteke's obviously been in good form, and Arsenal have struggled against teams that have done that this season. Blackburn obviously did it to great effect last week, and although Arsenal will dominate possession against Villa and will have most of the chances there, without Van Persie, they've really struggled against teams that have just defended and got people behind the ball, and what happens is that the whole stadium gets more tense, it gets frustrated, people start shouting, you know, you get booed off at half-time, gets very tense in the second half, and then they get hit with a sort of sucker punch. That kind of happened against Blackburn, and it also happened, to remember, against Swansea earlier in the year. And, you know, if Arsenal get an early goal, they could score three or four quite easily, you know, because then Villa has to come out, and it's a completely different game. But the longer it goes without Arsenal scoring, the more dangerous it gets for them. And you know, as you said, Villa are desperate for the points as well, and just a few signs as well that they're improving.
There's always been this talk in the last year or so of the balance of power shifting in North London. Is this the first time, though, with Tottenham flying unbeaten, I think, in their last 11 now, and doing well in the Europa League, is this a genuine point where we can say that the balance has finally shifted to White Hart Lane?
I think it's just too early to say that at the moment, because obviously, if you look at the league table, you could just say, "Well, they're ahead of Arsenal, so therefore they're better than them." It's moved ahead of them. But we had this last season as well, and the gap was actually even. I think they had a 9-point gap at one point, a bit earlier in the season, sort of around Christmas, and Arsenal overtook them and just sort of pipped them in the end for third. I think the difference this year, though, is that I don't think what happened to Tottenham last year will happen again, because really it wasn't so much that Arsenal went out and overtook them because they won every game, you know, in the second half of the season. Tottenham threw it away a bit, to be completely honest, and there's no sign that they're going to do that this time, so it's going to be much more difficult for Arsenal to overhaul them. But I think to say the balance of power, I think it needs a bit more than that. And I think, okay, if they do it, they do finish above Arsenal at the end of the season, then you could say that. I can't really argue at the end of the season if Tottenham are ahead of them. But I just think the sort of overall health of the clubs, Tottenham obviously playing the best that they have done for years, you know, decades at the moment, right, getting the very most out of their squad, getting the very most out of what money they've got, their sort of wage structure. Whereas Arsenal are right at the sort of bottom of where they've been in the last 10, 15 years, and still even with those two things, it's close. And I just sort of feel, because of the Emirates Stadium and they've got the move to the ground, I just feel in the longer term, I think it's hard for Tottenham to continuously finish above Arsenal. So they might do it this year, they might do it, you know, again in the next few years, but I think that there's sort of too many sort of ingrained disadvantages for Tottenham to consistently get above Arsenal at the moment. But they're doing fantastically and clearly getting a lot more out of their squad and what they're able to pay than Arsenal are at the moment.
Jeremy, last night's Europa League, we saw Tottenham obviously with that very late win indeed, draw indeed, against Lyon. And Liverpool came just short against Zenit. Liverpool now only really have the Europa League places to battle for. And there's a talk in the papers today about the struggle to keep hold of Luis Suarez, even though he's pledged his future to the club. Do you see it being a major struggle to keep him at Anfield?
You'd think it's not going to be straightforward. I mean, what he said, I remember he did an interview about a month ago saying that he'll stay come what may at the end of the season. And I would think with his contract situation as well that Liverpool can keep him if they really want to. So I'd be surprised if he sort of left this summer. But I just think the pressure will get greater every season to keep him, and it's hard to see him staying through another contract if Liverpool don't really improve and don't get better. And we've obviously, you know, it's been a huge focus on Arsenal for obvious reasons this week. But actually, when you look at Liverpool's season, I think there's as many, if not more, questions to be asked there as well. Because as you say, they're out of Europe now. They're only ever in the Europa League. They're out of all the cups. And at the moment, they're not really even challenging for the Champions League. And I know that, I think Brendan Rodgers has been quite clever in creating this sort of story about how it's going to take years and years, and how he's, you know, building this new team and implementing a new philosophy and all of that. But all of that's designed to give you time, really. And I think it's, you know, I think there's as much, he should be under as much pressure as Arsene Wenger, I would say, at the moment, if not more, because Liverpool are, they're no smaller club than Arsenal. So with the money that's been invested in that squad, it's probably the transfer fees is more than Arsenal have paid in the last few years. And so I think there's big questions at Liverpool. But I think that Suarez will stay this summer. I think that he'll give it another year. But it's clear, you know, it's obvious a player of that quality who could get into pretty much any team in the Premier League that he's not going to stick around, or it's going to be very hard to keep him if you're not really getting in the Champions League places, let alone the Europa League.
Do you think Brendan Rodgers then has been able to disguise this so well that even finishing above Everton this season would seem like a victory, considering the two sides were poles apart earlier on in the year with Everton up in the Champions League spot?
I think he has. I think he's been clever in the way he's framed how people see him, because at the moment they're doing probably going to finish and have a worse season than they did under Dalglish last year. And Dalglish won a cup as well, won the League Cup. So, you know, similar league position. It looks like it's going to be. And we know what happened to Dalglish, and he didn't sort of have lots more time to build a squad. I'm sure he would have told you he needed time and it would come good. I'm not sort of particularly advocating that Brendan Rodgers should go, but I think that he's been clever in sort of convincing the owners and convincing as well to some extent the media that to present this sort of picture of this long-term vision that he's got and to allow, you know, to make people think that any sort of improvement on last year is sort of an achievement that's sort of to be celebrated, really. And I don't quite see it like that, because I don't think Dalglish, it was seen like that under Dalglish. It certainly wasn't seen like that under Benitez. So I think he's been quite clever, really, Brendan Rodgers. But you can't do that for too long. I think next season there'll have to be some, you know, bigger improvement. Otherwise, clearly he's going to be under pressure, and that's fair enough, really. I think he probably deserves at least another season or two at it. But I do think he's been quite clever in sort of shaping the sort of perceptions around Liverpool, because they're a huge club with a sort of huge history and big. Okay, they're not on the same playing field at the moment as sort of Man U, Man City, Chelsea in terms of spending, but they're in that next bracket. They're with, you know, they've got more money than Tottenham, and a long way behind them.
There's a massive game on this weekend on Sunday in the form of Manchester City taking on Chelsea at the Etihad Stadium, Jeremy. Huge implications for those automatic playoff spots for the Champions League for next season. And an opportunity for either Tottenham to leapfrog Chelsea potentially this weekend and City to cement themselves in one of those automatic spots. Who's got the bigger challenge this weekend, considering everything surrounding both clubs?
It's a good question, because I think they're both under quite a lot of Mancini, you know, who's... you probably saw that he got quite aggressive today about, in his press conference about getting asked about Pellegrini potentially coming in for him, and he sort of swore at the journalists about it. Benitez, we know, is under lots of pressure and doesn't look like he's going to be kept on beyond the end of the season. So it's quite a funny league, really, this year, because it's only Manchester United and Tottenham that you would say everybody's sort of fairly happy at the moment. If you take Man City, Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, all those managers have sort of got problems and have underachieved to a certain extent. So I'd say that it's quite equal on in terms of who's under the most sort of pressure in the Man City-Chelsea game, because I don't think... I mean, Mancini's been talking quite a lot. He was sort of... I think he was sort of drawing attention to the fact that Wenger hadn't won anything for a while, in his press that he's done ahead of this game as well, and he's, as I say, is quite aggressive about and quite defensive. He said the other day that he's the best manager in England in the last 18 months, which is clearly complete rubbish, basically, because you know, if you manage a club that's had literally £1 billion investment, then the rules are slightly different. And his brief this season was to get past the group phase of the Champions League, which he didn't do, and defend the Premier League, which he's not going to do. So, the fact that they're second in the league and they narrowly won a league title last year, that's not really enough for the investment that they've had there. And Chelsea, their season is always, you say, is the key is making sure they finish in the top four. But Chelsea is such a funny club, because they always seem to have these mid-season crisis, and then they always seem to win a trophy or two by the end of it. So John Terry and Frank Lampard get fit and they suddenly go on a roll at the end of the season and everything looks a bit better. And Chelsea is still in the FA Cup. They scraped through in the Europa League last night, and I wouldn't be it'd be very typical of Chelsea to end the season with one or two trophies, even after all the sort of problems they've had.
I think there's a number of Arsenal fans that listen to us that will not be happy to hear that, Jeremy, that's for sure. Just a quick last one before you go. It is, of course, the Capital One Cup final this weekend. Swansea taking on Bradford. How big a shock would it be if Bradford were to win this? And just quickly, do you think it's possible?
I think it is possible. It's obviously still unlikely, but it's definitely possible on what they've done. I mean, I thought the really impressive one in a way was obviously they beat Arsenal, which got the most headlines and everything like that, which is fair enough because it was a sort of classic upset. But I think after beating Arsenal, to then over two legs beat another Premier League type team, you know, at home and away was really impressive. I think that was, you know, you can surprise a Premier League team once, you know, on your own ground, and everything, sort of, a lot of things go in your favour. But to do that over two legs was really impressive, I thought. So they've got a chance. They've got a chance. But obviously, you know, for obvious reasons, Swansea are favourites. I think the sort of big pitch, the big occasion, all of that should play to the sort of the better and more experienced players' advantage. So, you know, I do expect Swansea to win, but it's possible. And if Bradford did do it, it really would be one of the sort of best underdog stories we've had in English football for, I'm trying to think back, but it's for decades, really. It really is. It would rank up there with anything that I can sort of think of in recent memory for a team to win the from down in League Two, League One to do that. I mean, I can't think off the top of my head. We've had sort of teams from the second tier win the FA Cup, sort of certainly in the 70s, and we've had teams reach the FA Cup final like Millwall. Portsmouth reached the FA Cup final when they went down a few years ago. Southampton won the FA Cup in the 70s when they're in the Championship. It occasionally happens with a team from the sort of second tier, but I can't think of, I'm sure if I read my previews tomorrow, I'm sure all the history books will be laid out, but it will be, you know, it'll be an incredible achievement. It would be in the modern era, I think it will probably be the best underdog story we've had.
Jeremy, it would take us back to the day before the Premier League, before the money, before the foreign players. It would be a magical time indeed, and especially for those Bradford fans as well, making the trip down to London. Thank you so much for joining us today on World Football Daily, mate. It's always a pleasure to get you on, and we look forward to getting you back as soon as possible, mate. Enjoy the football this weekend.
Thanks very much. Pleasure.
Take care. Jeremy Wilson there joining us from the Daily Telegraph here on Friday's edition of World Football Daily. Absolute top bloke, Jeremy, and a wonderful writer as well. I have to say, I mean, we don't have bias or favourites here, but I do find myself getting drawn towards the Telegraph when I'm doing research and having a look at the match reviews from the days before the day just gone. It always does bring a little smile to my face.
It's funny because after every interview that we have, I feel like you're always like, Rafa, I really like that one. Yeah, you know, I really like that one. Yeah, it was a really good interview. I really like that bloke. Yeah.
Well, we do. We just generally. I don't even mean generally. Actually, I think every single person that we have coming on the show on World Football Daily is genuinely like a top bloke. Well, there's never a guy who we're sat there before we chat with them for real and kind of having a little chat with them down the phone or something, and we think, oh god, he was a bit of a no. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, he's not. Nah, not my cup of tea. That bloke doesn't seem like me. Sure. All the guys who we get on, we have a decent chat with before we kind of get talking football with them, and they're you know, they're always top. And you know, Tim Capel giving you some advice for yesterday as well. He always gives you music advice, doesn't he, Raph?
Absolutely, music advice. Dealing with headaches.
Andy Brassel gives you parenting advice.
I get fatherhood advice from Andy Brassel. Even Graham Hunter today was giving me a little bit of
parental advice.
Doting daddyhood advice as well. Yeah. No, I mean, again, it's part of being this football community that we've kind of created here. You know, it's having that friendship with the people that we appreciate, admire, that we read and involve ourselves in every day. We want to be surrounded by the best, and we want to deliver the best for our audience, and I think we do.
I think we do all right, but I think, to be honest, we're nothing without the guys that come on the show. And yeah, it's always top to have somebody like Jeremy taking some time out from, of course, a very big weekend in English football. Of course, Bradford taking on Swansea City. Seriously, Raf, I mean, we've made some balls out predictions on World Football Daily in the past, but this was not one that I think anybody saw coming whatsoever. Bradford City of League One taking on Swansea City. You know, second year in the Premiership, still not expecting much from them. Mr. Michu, just phenomenal all season, obviously. But it's not just been relying on Michu. You know, Dyer's played well. Britton's played well. De Guzman's played well. It's been fantastic. And seeing, you know, a small side like Bradford, I mean, I was joking because a friend of mine said that he knew someone that was going to this game. And I said, oh, well, you'd be able to turn up on the door, won't you, for Wembley? You know, there won't be enough Bradford and Swansea fans to get to Wembley. And in fact, you know, he said, like, I tell you what, mate, he really struggled to get this ticket. Like, really struggled. Both sides have kind of sold out their allocation. The only trouble is you know when you're watching a game at Wembley and at halftime, the players come back out and there's that huge empty patch of seats, which is kind of the corporate seats where the, you know, where all the business busybodies and people who are being on their corporate day outs sit, behind the dugouts.
Yep.
There is a trouble or a thought that could potentially be quite empty tomorrow, which would be a shame because that's the way the camera looks for the whole game. You know, and if you're going to see any of the stands, it's generally that stand that you're going to see. If there's a load of gaps there, it's going to be a bit of a shame watching that, I have to say. Especially as well, as I think there'll be a lot of people's attention might be focused a little more on Manchester City against Chelsea. But we will be running through all of the Premier League games coming up this weekend in just a moment on World Football Daily. Before we do that, though, and when we come back from this next break, delighted to be joined by the one, the only, the living legend himself, Graham Hunter, will be joining us on the show. And we'll be talking a little bit of La Liga with old Graham. We'll be back in just a moment here.